Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 50 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
WrinkledNotDead.com is our blog. This is obviously our podcast. All the episodes that are found there, all of them. And you can make your comments there, which we've been getting some very nice things. Thank you so much. You can rate us there, subscribe, make suggestions, or you can go to the iTunes store and search in podcasts. Also are on Facebook and all the usual suspects in social media.
And if you could tell your friends and family, you know that's the best kind of advertising. Just say, you know, try us out. Listen, we've got some good things to tell you.
Yeah, we've been married for 33, coming on 34 years now. And what we do in the past has been, well, we met in the theater, we've been working in radio and television, writing, performing, live performances, all that kind of good stuff for our entire lives together. And that's kind of an achievement all by itself. But what we want to do for you is to help you understand that even though we may be over 50, I'm 65, Jen is 60, that we have things to do, things to learn, and things to accomplish, and we will do them together. How's that?
Yeah, and we have been in the business a long time. We have a company called Michael Bell Productions, and we do radio and TV advertising, and we do speeches, and we do everything. Everything. So you can check that out too. Michael Bell Productions.
First element that I know and love to do is called Rose and Thorn. A good thing that happens and a less good thing that happens pretty much every week because we publish this podcast once weekly. So I have the first one, and my first is the Rose, which I like to start with. I had the tremendous opportunity to go and appear for the second year in a row in the Canadian version of a television series called Big Brother, where they sequester these people for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and grind them down, and eventually there's a winner at the end who stands alone as a person who could put up with all this. Anyway, I got to be a special guest on the show and do a game show with them in order to, unfortunately, eliminate one person, but also grant one person kind of a special wish in the Big Brother house. They're called house guests. It was tremendous. I thought last year was berserk and crazy and nuts and everything was first time ever. But this year, I kind of got the rhythm of what was going on and I thoroughly had a great time. Okay, so it was fascinating. I think the episode is going to be great. Can't wait to see it. Okay, my thorn. You know what? I am 65. These kids are crawling around backstage. It's like if you're ever been in a theater show, even when you're in school, you know what it's like behind the scenes. There's no lighting. It's dark back there. I couldn't see it. I mean, I had to have a kid lead me around. It was amazing. And I'm trying to Snapchat before before they snuck my phone away. And they said, you can't do that. And I was just taking these for my wife. But I showed you some of the images where it's just virtually people dressed in black. And I realize my eyes aren't what they used to be. And that's a thorn.
It's tough. I remember around 40.
Yeah.
I would go, when we were entering the movie theater, you know how it's kind of dark?
Yeah.
And when I was younger, I could go from sunlight into the movie theater and kind of see where the seats were. And it took me a long time to kind of adjust. And that started at 40.
Honey, don't turn the light on when you go to the bathroom either.
I know. Exactly. So it's not just an old thing. I don't know. It slowly comes on.
Okay. So that's what my deal for the week.
Well, I have a rose and thorn. I'm going to start with the thorn first.
Okay, good.
The thorn was picking you up at the airport.
Oh, it is. Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, there's a Seinfeld about it. And only close friends and family pick people up at the airport because it's so grueling. And what I thought is I'd be very smart and I'd come right at the right time and there he would be with his baggage. But you weren't because you checked your bag.
Oh.
So it was so tough getting there. And I was going, oh, my God, I can't stand it. But out of that came the rose.
What's the rose?
The rose was once I finally picked you up, once your bags finally arrived on the turnstile and you came out.
Yeah.
The unforgettable blooms of the flowers along the road.
Yeah, we live in Southern California.
You told me, you said, oh my God, look at the colors. And thank God you did, because I didn't notice them on my way to the airport.
No, you were in a high state of anxiety.
Yeah, I noticed them on the way back. And oh my God, the colors, the blues, the purples, the yellows. So if you're in a stressful situation, if you're going to the airport or you're stuck in traffic, just look around. You're going to see some pretty beautiful stuff out there.
And I don't care where in the world you
are
right now. Things are changing in your environment. And you can find something great. But I had been gone for 7 full days, right?
Yeah.
And 7 full days where we live at this time of year, it's like this explosion of beautiful sights. I mean, I was absolutely speechless at the blooms and the flowers, the divergent colors, and just everything about it. It's always nice to be home, isn't it? But this was really something, and I'm glad that that's your rose, because I pointed it out to you. And I know you love to have a nature moment every day of your life. So I was happy to give it to you.
So what you're saying to others who may not have blooms right now,
there's
something to look at out there.
There are buds.
Well, even if there's a bird or there's snow or whatever, there's something to say, you know what, this is beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. Even the snow.
Now, from that, though, however, I have my Jen's Health Minute.
I know.
From the blooms.
Here it comes, folks.
The itching.
Well, I mean, really, with this year's... the amount of pollen in the sky right now must be insane. So tell us about it.
Well, I have prided myself my entire life about never having allergies.
I know.
60, bam. I have had these sort of itching hives type of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just driving me mad. So I'm always trying to look for the most holistic, simple way to take care of something.
And inexpensive.
Mm-hmm. Aloe vera juice or lotion.
Yeah.
You need to get 99% aloe vera juice in the lotion or the gel, however you want to get it, and you put it on your skin, and it took my hives away.
Really?
Honestly, it took, and I want to say it didn't do it immediately.
Yeah.
It took a little time, and it just eased it off. And I thought, my gosh, it really is a miracle, aloe vera. And I did some more research and found out that aloe vera is very good for not just itching, but it's a good moisturizer, mm-hmm. it's a good anti-inflammatory, mm-hmm. and it's a good antiseptic.
Hmm.
And I was also having troubles with my nails, and I put it on my nails, and it's really helped improve the health of my fingernails.
Now, don't expect this to happen like pronto.
No,
right?
Nothing.
Except the itch.
Except the itch. It took the itch away in about an hour.
Wow.
So it really does work, and it's inexpensive.
Well, yes and no. I don't, you know, you can go almost anywhere and buy the stuff that's good for like sunburn. You see it, you know,
correct,
everywhere. It's got it, and it always has scent in it.
This is unscented, I need to tell you. It
yeah.
has an odd scent. It's the scent of the aloe vera juice.
Which is a bit odd.
Yeah. And I went to a health food store for it, so I would get the most pure. But then, because of my love of dogs and cats and pets of all kind, I found out that aloe vera gel is good for pets.
What?
For cooling the relief of flea bites, to reduce itching and scratching. So just like me with my skin, it helps pets as well.
Well, another good thing about that is it's not, when you put aloe vera gel or lotion on your skin, it doesn't leave some crusty, slimy, it just goes away, doesn't it?
It just goes away. And I'll tell you, this just came up. I bought a little spray aloe vera,
yeah.
and I put it in my purse, and it leaked all over the bottom of my purse.
No.
I have to tell you, it dried up and it didn't leave any kind of residue. So if it leaks in your purse.
Here, and I was thinking about the dogs.
I know.
Truthfully, I thought, who wants to put
this stuff
and have your slimy dog, you know, with some greasy stuff on it? But it does. It dries and it's gone.
This is a true test when it leaks at the bottom of your purse. I thought, thank God it didn't get on my phone. But that's another story.
We're not going back to the phone story. Okay, the major topic today, and boy oh boy did we wrestle over this one, but anyway, it's called the Blue Zones. You looked for artwork for this for a while, but I didn't even know what you were talking about. What is this concept? What is a blue zone? Okay, right out the chute, I'll tell you, these are 5 specific areas, relatively small areas of our world, that seem to have the secret to longevity and health. So I mean, people there live for a long, long time. They live in great health, and they remain healthy to the end of their days. So That is the story of the Blue Zones. Now, where are they on Earth? This was what's really got us going on. The five Blue Zones, and I have to preface this by making sure that you know that this is a study that's been done over several years. I think it's five full years now, by Dan Buettner and National Geographic Magazine. I'm going to give a big shout out to Mr. Buettner and to National Geographic later on. But they took a long time making this happen. Then they found these five spots where modern technology, massive amounts of supplements, treadmills, genes, is this the answer to longevity and to good health? Nix. But the zones are the Italian island of Sardinia, which we've always heard about Mediterranean diet.
We have.
Is that the only reason? No. Okinawa, Japan. They eat a lot of fish. They don't get as many heart attacks. No. Loma Linda, California.
Gosh, that's just down the street.
Down the way. Okay, let's all move to Loma Linda. Anyhow, that's one. Costa Rica's isolated Nicoya Peninsula, which I really don't know anything about or have no reference to at all. And an isolated Greek island, which kind of gives me a little clue. Icaria, an isolated Greek island. So just quick. Italian island of Sardinia, Okinawa, Japan, Loma Linda, California, Costa Rica's island of, or a peninsula called Nicoya and Icaria. Now, what the heck are they talking about? These aren't like all together on one continent. They're spread all over the world. What's the big deal? And why do people live so long and so healthy in the Blue Zones? So let's get into it.
Well, they say it includes a healthy diet, daily exercise, and a low-stress life that incorporates family, purpose, religion, and meaning. So the absolute simplicity and power of this is kind of cool, I think. It's kind of neat because there's not, you have to get this supplement, or there's not, you have to do this all the time. Mm-hmm. It's sort of a mixture of a balanced life.
Yeah, but defining what a balanced life is not easy. And I guess that's why these folks are continuing the research, but also they've been doing it for five full years. So let's just break it down, because you kind of laid it out in order there. But about diet, exercise, stress, family, purpose, religion, meaning. Let's start with polluting your body. Imagine that. That's what they're saying. What is a healthy diet anyway? Okay. According to a ton of literature supported now by the Blue Zone investigation, and this is not going to come as a big surprise to you folks out there. What are you guessing? If you're over 50, you've learned this by now for sure. Loaded with vegetables, with fruits, fish, nuts, low on meat, sugar, fat, and the toxic processed foods that we have in modern civilization. Let me break away for 1 second. Your mother's 95 years old. She's a vegetarian.
She is. And I have to say that all the doctors have said the reason why she's lived this long and she's very sharp in the head and she's very healthy is because she's been a vegetarian.
Okay. Now, those are the bare bones of the idea of what you put into your body. But interestingly enough, red wine is very beneficial in moderate. Let's all get celebrating now. We can get with this. Red wine, goat's milk, which we give to our little poodle.
And you know why? It's supposed to be full of probiotics.
Oh, okay. I wondered about that. And some green tea, which you drink by the galoon, and some other specialized teas. So these seem to be beneficial as well. Well, so what's most important is the high-level theme of generally eating the good stuff and cutting off the bad stuff. Bad stuff, once again, to make sure you're clear on it. Meat, fat, and sugar.
Yeah, sugar's supposed to be really, really bad for you. And yet we want it. But what they say is when you start cutting sugar out, eventually you lose the taste for sugar and you don't need it. Like anything. It generally takes, you know, Mike, I did some research, about 3 months to get a bad habit out of your system.
Oh, my.
So if you cut sugar out for 3 months, you're probably not going to want it.
Heart disease, diabetes can almost be 100% attributed to a lifestyle of obesity and poor diet. That's scary, huh?
Yeah.
It's been documented, all kinds of trials about the reduction in cancers and Alzheimer's. All of this, you know, all of these things can be alleviated by heart healthy diet and by diets that are in the what they would call the blue zone, I guess.
So can I ask you, people that have these healthy diets, are you saying they don't get these major diseases?
That's what I questioned, and I wondered about that for the most part. But I think with their, and this is ongoing studies, so this is helpful direction, I think. There are more people who live over 90 years of age in those blue zones who stick to the diet number one. But that's only part of the picture, right? Okay, we've just defined one out of the many issues that we've brought up. So the next one is, okay, you got your body. What are you going to do with it?
We've all talked about exercise.
Yeah.
And exercise is very important. And actually, I'm on a diet right now.
Yeah.
And what I've been told is I'm not lifting enough weights. You really need to move your body and you need to lift some weights to build that muscle mass and to strengthen your bones.
Now, this is, I love this. I love that you said that because people in the blue zones don't necessarily have to do anything artificially. Like they're not looking at something, you know, a treadmill in the back over here. What they do is they incorporate exercise into their lives rather than with machines. The exercise comes for nothing. It's already built naturally. They all across the blue zones, people climb mountains, they walk through the hills, they work the land, they use their bodies to go through what they do in their daily lives. And I thought about that, and I thought, okay, moms with kids here in North America, they're at it all day long. They're grinding it out. They're getting it done. There must be other factors to this, and there are coming up, but this is another important key. The exercise aspect doesn't have to be high intensity. You don't have to be lifting the weights, but be doing it on a regular basis, not just pump iron on Sunday, do nothing the rest of the days of the week.
So you have to incorporate it every single day, whether it's just running around with the dogs, going up and down the stairs, something. So just sitting on your computer all day is going to kill
help you.
Okay.
And their exercise, the idea of the research anyway, is that the exercise is slow and relaxed, which would put credence into what we do and most enjoy what we do. We're fortunate enough to live in Southern California where there's a beach. And if we go for a walk on the beach, it's probably better than going and pumping iron in the gym. So these folks use their muscles, they burn the calories, they circulate their blood, and they're tough. They're healthy because of that. So conditioning and being alert and ready to go. So the toxins in your body and your waste gets eliminated, especially in America, when you see that people who do make it to 90 don't seem to be always very healthy and happy.
No, because my mother's in a nursing home now, and she's the oldest one there, Mike, 95.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are in the 80s and 90s. And I have to say that 95% of them are frail. They're confused, and they're just kind of withered away is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and so for most of them, I'm just guessing, well, I'm not really guessing because this is part of the research, is that they've had their supplements and they've had their this and their that and their medications and what we would call modern Western medicine as opposed to a little bit more natural approach to this. And what happens is, for whatever reasons, in these five zones currently being researched, these folks live to be 90, 100, but they're still, kind of like your mom, they're active, they're normal, they're virtually medication-free, she is, and it gives us all hope. I mean, you don't have to just do this immediately out the chute. You can kind of work your way in.
Well, you know what my mom did? She never lifted weights, but she was active. She walked everywhere she went.
That's true.
So she was a seamstress, and she walked to and from work all the time and came back to take care of my dad because he had had his stroke. So she would walk to work, come back at lunch, help him out, go back to work, come back. I mean, that is what she attributes, is walking.
You told me years ago that she never did have a driver's license.
She never drove.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, look at the clues right in front of our noses about all this
simple
stuff. Yeah, they are simple, and yet, you know, it's complicated and elegant as well. Moving down the list, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on to what I think has got to be colossal numero uno in my own view. Low stress.
A happy, low-stress life.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want that? But, Mike, that is so tough.
Oh, yeah.
A life of low stress and filled with happiness. In theory, we all know that's what we need to do. But how do we actually go about achieving that? And what they say is, enrich your life with strong family ties,
yeah,
a sense of purpose, or doing what you love, or being needed, and a healthy dose of being spiritual.
Okay. Now,
and plenty of sleep.
And plenty of sleep. But how do you measure happiness? This is the deal.
I know.
Do you go to church once a day, once a month? Are you happy that spiritually? Are you, you know, what's going to promote longevity out of this? Stress is especially proven through tons of data, again, to have serious effects on the body. Now, this is where we all know about this because it was very popular some years ago. Cortisol.
Yeah.
Very familiar term, huh? Cortisol, that's a hormone in our bodies produced in response to stress, especially harmful to the body. So that those of us, and particularly North America, although thank you for everyone in all these other countries that we have listeners, I'm sure you're suffering under the same thing. If your life is full of stress, anger, and resentment, then you're going to have high levels of cortisol flowing through your body, and it's not a good thing.
I think it's the anger that we hold inside day to day. Like when I was going to the airport, I just felt angry because of the craziness of the cars. And that just eats away like a toxin. And we actually know people who have had a lot of anger in them and they're no longer with us.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, you know, anger increases blood pressure and heart disease and several other diseases. And I would not be surprised if all that stress also leads to cancer at some point, because it breaks down your body's ability to fight anything.
And yet you see folks here where we live in a very stressful area, and with, I'm not going to say nobody else is living in a stressful area either, who seem to be able to just put it away, park that away, and they do look happier. And I don't care, I don't know if they're spiritual. And when I say spiritual, I don't mean you have to go to church, but when you think about the way you live and you look at maybe there being a higher power, however you consider the way spirituality is, I think is valid. Like, I don't know, for whatever reason, I see a dead animal on the road, I always say, God bless you.
I know. That's nice.
So it feels nice to me. You know, I know that the poor coyote or the mouse or whatever is dead, but it feels nice to me, and it makes me feel less stressful to think that maybe something happened there in an interaction. And I just hope that, and I believe that to be in a teeny tiny way some level of spirituality and a lessening of stress.
I also think that you, like we said, you really need to feel needed as you get older.
Mm-hmm.
I know that was my mom's thing. And pets really help you feel needed because they rely on you for everything.
Yeah, they do. So is this just simplicity that we're talking about? I mean, so far, are you listening out there and you're saying, well, any moron knows what you're talking about. Is it just the lifestyle that makes any difference? Is it so simple to be a person who lives to be 100 years old and healthy? Is there not a magic pill? Is there nothing that we can do? Well, no. It's just making a choice.
Don't you think that's what it is, that the real secret to life is just simplicity?
I wish.
I mean that, but it should be that simple. And the thing about, you know, piling up vegetables and but having your vegetables on a healthy pizza.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's not going to work. But yeah, you don't want to deprive yourself either, because people are going to be saying, well, I can't just live healthy and not do anything and, you know, meditate all the time. That's kind of boring or whatever. And yet I think that it's just slowing down, mm-hmm, taking a breath and eating healthy and loving one another. And that sounds ooga booga, but that is kind of where these people are all coming from.
Well, they say it's never too late.
Okay.
They say it's never too late. Now, I'm going to give you an analogy that we talked about just before we started recording this. Okay. So-and-so smoked for 25 years.
Right.
But then was convinced, after 25 years of smoking, to quit. Now, after 10 years, 15 years, that person is almost on an equal keel with the rest of us. Even they started, okay, those many years ago, the 10 or 15 years ago, after smoking for 25, they quit, and they have recovered to a great extent. So that must mean that we're not doomed to failure because we had some vegetables on our greasy pizza. It's just, maybe that's true. Maybe we can return to being kind of okay and correcting ourselves. Living long and healthy in the blue zones is not just a quick fix. It's just starting today.
But why would it be in these zones? I'm putting you on the spot here. Is it because one person sees someone else and they all start acting alike in these areas? I mean, why is it these areas is what I want to know. Like Loma Linda, we just live, what, an hour away from Loma Linda? Why would it be different in San Diego than Loma Linda? It must be that like-minded people kind of gather.
It's a culture.
And it's a culture. That's what I'm thinking. It's a culture.
Yeah, that's right. And we all look around you, wherever you live, we're all living in a culture of our own design, you know, even down to what neighborhood you live in your own city. The expectations of the people who live in this neighborhood are such that they are different from the folks who live in another neighborhood that could be just a few miles away.
Correct.
Just because geographically the world is a smaller and shrinking place and they can do all this research all over the globe doesn't mean that we're not just a teeny tiny microcosm living in this village of this city, of this state, of this country, of this continent. That's what I think.
I do. And I think that we think we're supposed to smash in 5 workouts a day and we're supposed to, you know, drink all these green drinks.
I know.
And yet it's making us stressed out to be able to do all these things. So I guess what it is stop. Take a breath, slow down, and try to incorporate these healthy lifestyle aspects.
Surround,
is what I'm thinking.
I think the conclusion of the idea is surround yourself with others that share your interest in living a full life that is low stress, that is happy, that is meaningful, and get good sleep. And I just don't know. But the thing that they point out to is that, again, our Loma Linda, boing. Even Americans can live long and healthy lives. Amazing, amazing.
Because aren't we the few that, we are the people that don't take many vacations.
That's right.
Most people around the world take many, many more vacation days.
Yeah, they do. And I think siestas. What the heck happened to siestas?
I know.
You know? And that's another thing. A good nap is supposed to be great for you. I mean, you put this all into a ball of wax and you say, well, big deal. We've known this for years. Well, no, we really haven't. We haven't been able to study people who have made a better job of it. And these guys, Mr. Buettner and National Geographic, have done that for us. But, and this is where I told you I would give an update on this thing for, at least we can do this. We're on our blog. We're going to put, you know, a link to things that are important from this and some of the salient points. People are all going to go out and see, well, where was that again? What cities or areas?
Yeah, I want to move there.
Okay. Well, good luck in Sardinia. That's probably a wonderful place. But anyway, congratulations to Mr. Buettner. I'd love to have him on the show.
Yes.
I'm going to see if I can't reach out.
Great.
Because the reason I say that is because they even have daily updates from these guys now. And so on our blog, I'm going to make sure that we have the appropriate contact information and then see if we can't have Mr. Buettner on the show just for some comments about it. Because if anything, he has stirred it up again after a long time of people just sort of forgetting about the salient, interesting, and most vital parts of living a long and healthy life, blue zones or not. Make your own house a blue zone, for heaven's sakes.
I agree. Slow down, open your eyes, and make it work.
All right. Time off.
Well, time off is a thing that we do. It's time away from work that's, we try to find something inexpensive.
Because we have no
money. Or free, because we have no money. And it's just that, and generally things that give you the most joy are things that don't cost much anyways.
That's true.
Anyways, I figured, talking about blue zones. Mm-hmm. A great time off is to go to your local farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And there, here, we go Saturday and Sunday, and they're free to attend. Mm-hmm. They generally have music. Mm-hmm. There's families all around. They generally have little free samples of their cheese or their bread or their jam or honey. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of always a really good vibe there. And you can always get lunch for very inexpensive and get fresh fruits and vegetables and breads. And I just thought that would be a cool time off. If you have a farmer's market, go there. Go have fun with the family.
I'm just thinking that there you go. There you've now created a blue zone.
Oh, yeah.
Really, haven't you?
You're right.
Because these are local suppliers of potatoes or carrots or cheese or whatever. And they come together for these couple of days and they share what they have grown and are so excited to present it to you in a spiritual way. And I'm going to use the word like ooga booga.
Sure.
But nonetheless, they believe in their doggone cheese, you know, or their carrots. And so there's a different feel there at a farmer's market. And I love the way that is. And I agree. It's a real cultural event that costs zippo to attend. And you come home with some great stuff to cook.
Yeah, you really do. And the kids love it, too.
Oh, yeah. Kids get, I don't know, they these things kind of grow like Topsy, but they're fantastic. I mean, now they have the jumpy for the kids or for this or that. But in its most simple way, it's like going back hundreds of years to where this was done. And all the transactions for food and vegetables and everything else was right there in a place in town. And
Go check it out.
Good. Oh, yeah. Okay. So, are you still going to, I know you want to promote this. The rules of civility again, because you know you keep raving about it.
I was
It's not really
to.
A time off, is it? Yeah, it's a
it
time
is.
Off.
It's reading. Reading is free.
Okay,
and
all right.
I'm
good.
Still enjoying this book, Rules of Civility by Amor Towles, Amortowles. Excellent book. It's just about life, and it actually touches on a lot of this blue zone that we're talking about.
Remember, he's the guy who wrote A Gentleman in Moscow as well, huh? And that I raved about for weeks. So, and I read this book as well, and I went through this thing like a hot knife through butter. Rules of Civility is a hot dog book. It's fantastic.
One of the least expensive things you can do, and one of the best things you can do for your mind, your memory, and everything else is to read.
How does this guy put those words together? I don't know. But I've got a book.
Okay.
I ran out of Rules of Civility a while back, and I was on the road, and I need a break from the good books and read some kind of junky ones.
Yeah, like romance novels for...
Not for,
for me.
All right, that's fine. But okay, I found this one. This is going to get you. For this, okay, for the manly men with doing manly deeds who are listening, and I met a lot more of them in Canada when I was just up there. Read a book called Goliath by Sean Corydon and Gary Wade. It's about, this is going to get you, salvage operators. Okay, boat sinks, boat crashes into the shore. Somebody's got to go out there, see if they can pull it off the shore or raise it from the depths or somehow salvage some of the stuff on the boat. It is unbelievably cutthroat. I had no idea that the salvage business is so incredibly cutthroat. And there's all kinds of political aspects to it as well. I mean, heroically, our Coast Guard and the Coast Guard type of services all around the world rush to the site of one of these, you know, desperate things at sea, do what they can to save the crews. But in doing that, they're saving the crews out of something that's obviously not a great situation. There's either 40-foot seas or it's going crazy. And so many, many times, some of these heroic folks are lost, and it makes it look bad. You know, we lost 9 guys, we saved nobody. So governments are kind of more hesitant now to get involved as much as they used to. The salvage operations are coming in and doing more of those, more of the functions that were taken over simply by our government. And so you got to read this thing because it's a terrific story. It's based up in the Bering Sea, which I have knowledge of from doing Dangerous Waters, the production and reality show years and years ago. But I know the area, I know the towns, I know the Inuit people that are there and that live there. And it's a terrific, dynamic story, and it will keep you riveted. Once more, it's called Goliath.
Well, I don't know about this is just for men. This sounds really interesting.
Oh,
I'm going to read
it,
too.
Like it. I think you'll like
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I do. Remember when
is our next segment. And we like to just reminisce of the old days for all of you who are listening.
Oh, and we're old days, and yeah.
What got me thinking about, you know, the farmer's market and the Blue Zone and sort of slowing down and family and this and that is, remember when the milkman used to come door to door and would deliver milk, eggs, cheese, and then later on bread. And my mother loved the milkman. He was the farmer down the way, and so everybody knew him. And he'd come by and he'd chit chat, and often he'd, you know, upsell you because, you know, he was chit chatting and saying, "Hey, I've got these extra buns or this extra bread here. Would you like some?" And my mother really enjoyed it. And it was a time where you had fresh produce, fresh stuff right off the farm, and yet it was a time to slow down and talk with the milkman.
Mm-hmm.
And I really miss those days. Mm-hmm. That was such and talk about fresh.
Yeah.
I mean, they used to come and remember the little bottles of milk, and you could get gold top milk, which had the cream at the top.
That metal case that they carried around there to jingle the
bottles.
Yeah.
And then remember the little door beside your house, and they would put it inside there?
I didn't know about that until we moved to the kind of our second family home. And I looked at it, what is this like little fairy door at the side of the thing? But the milkman would open the outside door, put the products in, close it up, and on the inside, at least at our house, we had a corresponding door that you opened up, and by God, there's the milk.
Well, and that was if you weren't home. But if you were home, and another thing, I just remembered what the milkman used to do. He used to check on old Mr. and Mrs. down the street.
Aww.
And make sure that they were okay, and he'd knock on the door, even if they didn't order any milk, just to say, "Hey, do you need any milk?" And sometimes he would also... And it was a husband-wife team.
Yeah.
They would leave some free food on people's, doorstep.
Oh, man.
Yeah. They would leave some milk and some cheese or some eggs when they knew that the older couple just didn't have the money.
Well, let's face it. Those guys were walking Blue Zones.
They really were. And I'm sorry that we've missed the milkman, but you mentioned now like Uber Eats is doing deliveries.
I know. So what is the modern day equivalent? Okay, Amazon's getting into it now. Uh-huh. They'll deliver a list of stuff right to your home. And I was talking to the transportation driver from Big Brother Canada. He was driving me back all the way to the hotel, and we got talking about Uber. He says, and I have to admit that now I'm starting to use Uber Eats. And I said, I'm not familiar with that. He says, oh, yeah, it's a good service now. They pick the food up from the restaurant, mm-hmm. deliver it right to your house for like an extra $5 or $6, and you're golden. And I said, well, that's got to feel great after a long day and you don't want to cook. He says, yeah, and it's better than just kind of ordering a pizza with vegetables on it.
and didn't you say Amazon does it too?
Amazon has it all organized where you get this entire menu of things. But to me, I'm not going to go buy bananas from Amazon. I want to pick my own bananas.
Yeah.
But think of the staples. Do you really want to lug around bottled water? No. So, I mean, they'll be doing this.
It's not quite the milkman, though.
No, it's not.
But there you go.
All right. Well, I've got a quote for you.
Okay.
It's not quite the milkman, though. That would be enough. I would just stop right there.
That's a new saying now. It's not quite the milkman.
Yeah, okay. Life is so short, don't run so fast, you miss it.
I love that. Mm-hmm. A Blue Zone quote.
A Blue Zone quote.
Slow down.
You're
moving too fast.
You got to make the morning last. Chipping down there. Let's not go there.
Okay. I have a quote. If you want something you've never had, you have to do something you've never done. So if you want a long-lasting, happy life, you need to do some things perhaps that you've never done before. Thanks for listening. And remember, we weren't born yesterday.